thank you that you have shared your life with us in Jesus Christ, and that you have given us this book, this word, that speaks to us of him. Would you reveal him in our hearts today, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in this little bit of time, Lent, building up to Easter, and next week is Palm Sunday, and I like to sort of think of this moment, you're sort of on the precipice. I don't know if you've seen the film Gladiator, or these other sort of great adventure epics, and often at the start of the film there's a moment, a sort of lull before the storm. It sort of all goes quiet, the mist is sort of hovering over the ground, and then this sort of launches, this great battle, or whatever it might be. You might be a sports fan, you might think about that moment where the teams are sort of in the tunnel before they go out onto the pitch, and the fire cannons go off and all that kind of stuff. This is where we are, the sort of moment before the moment, the edge on the precipice, about to go in to all that God has for us in Holy Week and in Easter. But we're in this, we're not there yet. And Lent is this period, we give a substantive bit of time before we get to Easter, of preparation, and the word we've been using is this word formation, that God wants to form something in us deep down. And the language we use to describe this is that God wants to take us from happiness to joy, from happiness to joy. That the world is offering us a sort of happiness, a superficial happiness, and we go chasing after that, and we exert a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of money to being happy. Whereas what God offers, God doesn't offer us happiness, but he does offer us joy, this sort of deeper thing. And that joy needs to be formed somewhere deep within us. And the image we used for this a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about the difference between cut flowers and a tree. We might have a picture, Steve, on the screen of cut flowers and a tree. There we go. And I showed you this. This was a horse chestnut tree, and that Huck and my son and I grew in the ground, and then we planted it in a pot. And here it is. And I don't know if you remember, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, when I first showed this tree, there was nothing, it was all dead. There was sort of brown leaves and everything was dying. And I said then that, you know, the thing about joy, when joy is formed within you, there will be these seasons of happiness. There will be times in your life where green things grow and fruit is born. And we're starting to see that in this tree. It's amazing that in this couple of weeks, everything is growing. It's green. And the reason that it's green is because the roots are going deep. And I want to talk today a little bit about roots. You might be asking where the flowers are. I honestly was going to leave the flowers. I'm going to bring the flowers here as a sort of exposition for you. And you're going to see the flowers. And the flowers are going to be dead and brown. And I was going to make the point that, you know, cut flowers, the moment they're cut, they're on this journey very, very quickly to death. That's happiness, right? Whereas joy is something deeper. The flowers were obviously so bad that somebody took the flowers and threw them away. So that's what happens to our happiness. There's an image in that for us as well. But we have got our tree still. I'm thankful that nobody threw this away. And this is hopefully going to be here for many, many years. And we'll plant this in the ground and God will do all sorts of things with it. And I just want to say today, as I was praying about this passage again and reflecting on it, I thought it would be good to go back to Jesus in the wilderness and back to the Shema that we've been looking at. I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. The image that came to my mind is this image of roots. And so today I want to talk about roots. I think the next slide shows that. I want to talk about roots. And really what I want to say today really is just two things. That Lent, this period of preparation, is what the 40 weeks are all about. And the 40 weeks are all about roots, and roots in particular, roots going deep into God's grace. When you think about the roots of your life, the sort of substructure of your life, I wonder where you think your roots go. What do your roots reach out for? What is it your life is sort of built upon? What are you gripping hold of to give your life security and stability? So 40 weeks and roots. That's just what I want to talk about this morning. So 40 weeks, first of all. When we introduced the 40 weeks, I talked a bit about this passage, actually, from Matthew's Gospel. If you've got your Bibles open, we're in Matthew chapter 4. And it's on page 967 of the Church Bibles, Matthew 4, starting at verse 1. And I talked about this passage really because I think this says everything that we wanted to know and think about in terms of the 40 weeks. Because if you look back chapter 3, verse 16, 17, Jesus is baptized. He goes into the water out the other side. And the story is, verse 17, when that happened, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." This is my son whom I love. And so Jesus, hears this voice of the Father saying, "You're my son, I love you, I'm well pleased with you." And then if you jump up, so we've got our passage then in the wilderness, and then a little bit later, verse 12, Jesus, he hears about John, he withdraws to Galilee, and then verse 18, he calls his first disciples. And so when I talk about Lent, what we've been talking about in this 40 weeks, Jesus does 40 days, we're doing 40 weeks, Jesus is in this period between things, right? So here is the here's the call, if you like. Here's who you're to be. Here's what I've made you to be. You're loved, you're called, you're mine, you're my son. And all that that brings for it for Jesus, you know, he knows his Old Testament very well, and God's talking about my son, my chosen one. Jesus knows all that that means. So there's the call on his life. And then over here is the enactment of that call, what I'm going to actually do. And in the middle, we've got this space. And this is what we're all about and what we want to be about in our church is we want to be about this space in the middle. And what is that space? Well, this space is a space where the call on your life, what God is asking you to do and the identity that he's given you, you're my beloved son, my beloved daughter, where that actually takes root in our hearts, actually starts to become true of who we are. So that we're not people who simply sort of have a belief system, a doctrine, you know, I believe God loves me, and then people who sort of just crack on doing the stuff, going out and doing mission and praying for people and all that kind of stuff, although that's all good. We want to be a people who this is really genuinely sort of true of us. It's not just what we do, it's who we are. And if that is to happen, then that's a quite a deep sort of process. That has to go quite deep. God's got to sort of cut some things away and put some things in, and it's got to sort of be formed within us. It's got to be shaped within us. And that's what we've been looking at, isn't it, over this period of Lent. And Lent is a really good time to do that. In other words, the Shema, these verses we've been looking at from Deuteronomy, says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love the Lord God with everything you are. Don't just be somebody who sort of says that you do that or even sort of does some things that insinuate that. Actually, why not become a person who really is, you know, loving God with your heart, your soul, your strength. And that's just a way of saying all of you. You know, the whole part of your body, the whole part of your person, all of you, loving the Lord. Why not become a person like that? That's what we've been looking at. And the word we've used for that is this word joy. You know, you could be a Christian version of happiness, really, is sort of having God tell you that he loves you and then sort of going chasing after this kind of veneer of happiness, all the good things that God might give you, all the blessings of God. But we want to be a people of joy, where that sort of formed deep within us, that we can live through the ups and downs of life. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about this 40 weeks of becoming a people who are dependent and expectant and changed, that formation going on inside of us. And that's what Jesus is doing here. And if you notice something, and as I was praying about this passage, I sort of hadn't seen it for a little while, verse 17, verse 16, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. And then verse 4:1, did Jesus decide to go himself into the wilderness? No, read what it says. Verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It's all part of the same action of God. The one who calls him is the one who leads him into the wilderness. And I just want to say to you this morning that, you know, if you're somebody who's been following Jesus and trying to follow Jesus, and you've said yes to that call, you know, yes, Lord, I believe I'm your beloved. I believe you want to do things through me and in me. And then you find yourself in this place of, we might call it wilderness or struggle or difficulty or challenge. It might just be that the Spirit is leading you through that. The same Spirit, we can't have one, if you like, without the other. That just as God calls us, so he will form us. Just as he calls us, so he will form us. Now, as I said a couple of weeks ago, we don't here at church, I don't believe for one minute that God causes bad things to happen in your life. We're not saying that. God doesn't cause us to suffer. But he does use all those things that we go through, just like he used Jesus in the wilderness, to form something deep within us. And we know often, isn't it, it's in those times of sorrow and suffering and challenge that God does a deeper thing within us. That's what God is doing. So, 40 weeks. What's the 40 weeks about? It's about this. It's about that time between the call and the work, and here we are, and it's something is forming in us as individuals, as a church. And all of that, I think, the image for all of that for us this morning is the image of roots, the image of roots. Now, I love, when we moved to Durham, we moved from Nottingham, and Nottingham is a lovely city, and I was there just this last week, actually, but Nottingham is not Durham. And it's not Durham, certainly, in its beauty, I would say. And Nottingham, some lovely parts of Nottingham, Woolerton Park and all of that. But what I love about Durham is I walk out of my house, I turn left out of my house, I walk up past the university, and within about 5 minutes, I feel like I'm in the middle of a forest. You know, I'm in the middle of these woods. And my favorite place to go with the kids is we sort of go up Mount Joy and across Mount Joy and down and up sort of into the top of Huffle Woods. And up there, you can kind of sit at the top, and there's this clearing that we sometimes go to, and the kids build a den, and we have a great time. And there's a really, really steep hill down to the back into Huffle Woods along the path, really steep. And the kids love it because they sort of slide down there. It's like a natural slide. And somebody's put a rope swing in, so you can sort of swing out, and you're like 15 feet off the ground, and nobody's hurt themselves yet, so we're okay. But what I love about that, when you sit at the top of that, you are at the height, the canopy level, if you like, of these beech trees. And most of them are beech, these thick gray beech trees, beautiful trees. And I don't know how many decades these trees have been there. And you sort of stand there and you look out, and it's amazing to be at that sort of treetop level and see these wonderful trees at that level. But then I love going back down to the ground, because you've been at the top, you go back to the ground and you see these roots, this substructure beneath the ground. And what I find amazing about the trees is the bits we can see, but more the bits we can't see, the bits beneath the surface. And most of those roots for a beech tree are about 4 to 8 inches below the ground, so not very deep at all. And they're the roots that get all of the kind of nutrients. They need to be close to the surface because they get all of the nutrients from the ground. But there's these like anchoring roots that go down about 7-8 feet into the ground to keep the tree up. But the amazing thing about the roots is that they go about 2 to 3 times wider than the canopy of the tree. So, you know, what you see at the top, you think that's a big tree, but the roots are going kind of, you know, loads and loads, really, really far out to keep the tree rooted. And roots are this amazing thing, and there's been all sorts of research about roots, and there's a beautiful book I was reading about how, you know, trees almost communicate with one another in the forest beneath the ground. There's so much going on beneath the ground that we don't see that holds these roots up, and some of you will know far more about this than me. But I had this image, you know, as I was praying, that if we're to be a people who this God is forming this deep thing in us, we need to be a people who have our roots in the right place, who choose to sort of set down our roots into good soil, into good things. And I think that's what's going on for Jesus here. He's becoming somebody whose roots are in God. That's what the Shema seems to me to be all about, somebody whose roots are in God. And what Jesus finds is that there's all sorts of other places, of course, where you could put roots, all sorts of other things. And I don't for one minute think that Matthew is trying to give us a sort of detailed psychological account, breakdown of what it is to be a human, but it's actually not a bad image and helpful sort of guide for us as human beings as to the way God has formed us and the sort of things that go on in our mind and go on in our hearts that distract us as human beings, that pull us away from our calling and our vocation as human beings. And there's three things, aren't there, that Jesus sort of has to wrestle with. He could put his roots into stuff, you know, all the stuff of the world, that's the bread, whether that's time and leisure, whether that's the latest kitchen, whether that's a new extension, whether that's our house, whether that's our family, all the stuff of the world that we could sort of give our roots to, we could sort of invest our time, our energy, our endeavors into. That's the first one. I think the second one, you know, from verse 6, throw yourself down off the temple. There's lots of ways of reading that, but one of the ways I think of reading that is this is really all about Jesus' identity. You know, Jesus has gone into the wilderness and God is forming something in him as an individual. And what the devil is saying is, Jesus, you know, why didn't you sort of show all that to everybody else? You know, if you go to the top of the temple and you threw yourself off and a load of angels caught you, that's going to be pretty spectacular. And everybody's going to see it. And so you've had this calling at baptism that you've heard, and a few people have heard. Why not go and do that publicly? And then everyone will see it. And it'll be this dramatic thing. And so one of the areas of our lives that we can dig our roots down into is our image. You know, how other people perceive us, how other people see us. And lots of us spend a lot of time and energy and mental energy and heart energy worrying essentially about how we're perceived by others. All of us do that. That could be something we really dig our roots down into, because that will make us. Or the final one, the devil says to him, you know, you can have all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus says no to that. And what's on offer there? Well, there's lots of things on it. It's power, isn't it? It's power. But really, I think it's about dominion and control. you know, in one sense, I think that the greatest offering our world offers us is to be in control of our lives, to make decisions, to be able to be free to make decisions. What I want to do, when I want to do it. I don't want to have the sort of restrictions of the world upon me. And that's what's offered to Jesus, and Jesus says no. So there's these three things, stuff, identity, control, that you could sort of sink your roots of your life down into. And Jesus says no to all these things because, and this is what we saw, he knows Shema. He knows that the only solid foundation, the only soil that's worth digging your roots down into is the roots of God's love, the roots of God's love. And so we said, didn't we, that the way to read this passage really is to read it that what's going on for Jesus is that he has this calling from the Lord, this identity given to him, and then he spends this time sinking down into that identity, this God-given, loving, beloved identity. And that's the same for us. And so I want to encourage us this morning as we come to the table and as we move towards Easter to ask ourselves, what is it I'm sinking my roots into? You know, where actually do I think the foundation of my life lies? And only you'll be able to answer that question before the Lord. That's not for me to answer for you. And might it be that God is inviting me increasingly to deepen my roots, to put my roots down into God's grace, into God's love? And my sense is, when I think about our congregation here and what God is doing among us, is that there will be many of us who have done this for a long, long time. You know, we've been really trying to sink our roots down into God's grace. And I just want to say to you, well done for doing that. And you coming perhaps towards the sort of third part of your life, as we might call it, you know, the towards the beginning of the end of your life. And your roots really feel like they're sunk down into God, into his love. And I just want to encourage you in that. And maybe in this season where life gets a bit harder and physically things are harder and it's more challenging and you're having to rely on other people and you're having to rely on other things. Maybe this is a season of just increasingly finding your roots, not in all that other stuff that's given you happiness through your life. Maybe this is a time to find your roots again in God's grace. I would encourage you in that. So let's hear again these words that the Father speaks over his Son from the Spirit. And as I read them, let's hear them as words for us. And what I want to say to you is that these are the words that can withstand the roots of our life. If we want to have a tree, a healthy tree that's our life, these are the words that will hold us firm. So let's hear them again, and then we'll come round the table together. From verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." God speaks those words over us. This is my Son. This is my daughter whom I love. With him, with her, I am well pleased. That's a foundation for our roots. That's the soil within which we can grow to be a healthy tree. Let me pray for us and then we'll come around the table. Jesus, we thank you that this passage is not so much for us a teaching about how we can resist temptation, but is a reminder to us, Jesus, that you have done everything that was necessary for us to be saved and to be loved. You have battled, you have fought, and you have won. And so we rest today, we rest in that love. May our roots, the roots of our lives, where we spend our energies, our efforts, may they sink down, Lord God, into that love. And may we find ourselves through the storms of life, secure, held, an anchor for the soul, we pray. Amen.